Our gospel today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they walked and discussed these things with each other, he himself came up and walked along with them. That's Jesus. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "And about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us in the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this scripture, which has been so accurately preserved over all these centuries. And we thank you for the Old Testament scripture that was used to point to Christ. Bless us as we ponder these words even more in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. How is it that God changes hearts? It's a very important question. How is it that he changes a person from the inside out, from being an unbeliever or being a condemned sinner to being a saved sinner? One of my first days in algebra class, way back in high school, and I think it was that class, it was something like it. And it was the first time, though, that I had this teacher. And he was a teacher who I know lived down the road from me a ways, but I didn't know him. And he brought to my attention during class something that I didn't know about. He said that he used to walk by my house. In fact, way back in the early or later 60s, our road was paved. And I wasn't in school because he was obviously on his way to school, and he walked from the left to the right or from the south to the north. And the school was just right over there, you know, half a block away. And he said he used to walk on the sidewalk, but then he had to stop doing that. And he told me why. Because I would spit at him. Where was my mom? Where was my dad? I can't take responsibility for that, can I? Oh boy, it was right there in class in front of everybody. I used to spit at you, I said, because I didn't remember doing it. And he said, yeah, you did. And I said, wow, I'm sorry. You know, and apparently I grew up a little bit, but he went on to say, not only that, but he had to walk to the other side of the road. And that would be across the street and on the grassy area next to a shelter belt, which ran the whole length of the block. And he said, why was that? He said, because you would throw rocks at me. Ooh, I kind of remember that. You know, I guess I couldn't cross the street and go and spit at him there, so I'd get rocks. What was I thinking? I have no clue. No idea. And I'm sure I apologized to him, and we got a good laugh about it, but I didn't forget about it. Because that's not too cool, to be spitting and throwing rocks at people. It sounds like something in the Bible, something that somebody would do maybe even to Jesus. Well, it was in my first year of confirmation with Pastor Christofferson. He was the harsher of the two pastors we had. He was the stricter of the two. One was the youth director, and he was the older one and stricter. And I remember he was the first year I had him for confirmation, the second I had the other pastor, but it was like, oh, it was like scary, because I learned in confirmation, I remember the room, the setup, and which direction we were facing the room and what was on the board. He was talking about these big words that I hadn't heard before, about omnipresent, omniscient, and all those things, that God was all-knowing, that he is all-present, and that he was all-powerful. And I was thinking in my head, oh no, I'm in trouble. I am in big trouble. I wasn't thinking about the rocks. I didn't know about that yet. I'd forgotten it, suppressed it. But I knew about my other sins. I knew about my potty mouth that I had, not around my parents, not around other adults. I knew how to turn on, turn off, but around other kids, yep. I knew. I felt conviction of my sin, and that I'm going to pay for it in hell. And it's at that point that I heard about the grace of Jesus Christ, and that it didn't have to happen that way. I'd started reading the Bible during confirmation at that point, not right during the class. I'm sure we were reading from the Bible too, but I mean, at night, I read from the Bible. And I confessed my sins and experienced the mercy of God and his forgiveness because of faith in Jesus. And it wasn't too long. It was just before this. I'm sure that the two connect because I don't know exactly the time frame, but another thing that symbolizes and shows this to me is that I was mouthing off to some high schoolers who had cars. When they drove by, their windows were down. And I was at my elementary school, and I was on the north side of the elementary school. And they drove by, and I mouthed off to them. I said something I should have said, I know. But they noticed, and they went around the block. And then I took off running with my friend, Kent. And we went that way, thinking that they wouldn't find us. And we were really quiet for a while. We came around the building from the south side to the east side, around to the north side where our bikes were. And I don't know why we didn't get on our bikes right away, but right when I came around the corner of the building, one of the guys was there. And he grabbed me by my shirt and lifted me up against the brick wall of the building. It was really hard. And he's got me up. I think my feet were touching the ground, my toes. And then he called me by name. I didn't know he knew my name. And he says, Reagan. He says, why don't you be more like your friend Kent over there? Because he didn't swear. And I thought, yeah, that's a really good idea. And I said, I don't know what I said. I just remember I thought I was going to die. I was going to beat me up. Well, They let me down. They didn't beat me up. By the way, I learned later what the names of those two guys were. Greg Bortnum and Rocky Mantell. They sound like tough names, you know. And they were tough. But they showed mercy to me. They didn't destroy me or beat me up or anything like that or put things in my mouth. And I know that connection, those two things, I mean, all that stuff together came to a head. And I was biking home thinking, oh, no, I could have died. I could have died, you know. That was in my head. And the confirmation thing together, whenever the order of them, I don't know what were, but God changed my life at that point. He'd had mercy and grace on me all along anyway. But that was really when it came to a head. And that came to my attention when I was thinking about people in our lives who will disrespect you without even knowing you. It could be a faceless person on Facebook. It could be someone downtown in Fargo who doesn't even know your name. It could be anywhere. They disrespect you even though they don't know you. And they could call you names. And they may even spit on you. Maybe even throw rocks. But the point is, there is hope for those people. Because God changes hearts. He changes us from the inside out. It was the first day of the week when Christ rose from the dead. Two of them were on the way to Emmaus, and likely two men, though they were not among the original 12 or the remaining 11. The unique thing is that Jesus came to be with them. Jesus came to be with them, and it was the resurrected Jesus who appeared to them. He came to them while they were still just walking along the road, reflecting upon all the things that have been happening in Jerusalem. It was about a 7-mile walk from where they were to where they were going. And Jesus spent time with them, though they did not know it was Jesus, and their eyes were prevented from seeing who he was just yet. So Jesus came to be with them, and Jesus understood them. Jesus asked them what they were talking about along the way as if he didn't know. He took time to care and to listen to them. Isn't it interesting how God wants us to do that in prayer too? He knows everything already, but we need to voice it as well. He knows we're sinners. We need to repent as well. But Jesus, with these two, he took time to listen to them. And that they were sad, and they couldn't make sense of the situation. They had thought that he was the one who was going to save them, rescue them, redeem them. Their faces were downcast, and they were filled with disappointment. God, Jesus, cared for them and listened to them. He understood them. And then Jesus told them how foolish they were because they knew of the Old Testament scriptures. But they just didn't connect it with Jesus. Then Jesus opened the Word of God to them. First, of course, he came to be with them, he understood them, and then he opened the Word of God to them. He explained the Old Testament scriptures that spoke of him. He explained, it says, these scriptures. And then in verse 32, it says that he opened the scriptures to them. Later on with Peter in the book of Acts, we hear about people, how they had heard, this is 50 days later, and how Peter was preaching to them, and he is already filled with the Holy Spirit, but now he's preaching to them, and he's telling them about Jesus, and he's quoting some of the Old Testament scriptures too, and we don't know how long his message really was, but people heard it, and he said that this Jesus did this for the forgiveness of sins. They were to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Peter said that this was accomplished not with silver and gold, like the way most of the world works, right? Valuable things. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish or defect. That is how God accomplished it. That's from 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, our lesson today. So, Jesus
came to be with them, he understood them, and he opened the word of God to them. And that's how he revealed himself to them. We also know he did it not only in the scriptures, but in the breaking of the bread. And then those disciples, they talked about how they were cut to the heart. You know, later on in the Pentecost time, but these guys, their hearts were burning. But with Peter and his message, they were cut to the heart. It already got, I don't know how far you've walked before. I know some students for different things, they've walked a long ways. But walking 7 miles in a day, I mean, if you're in shape especially, it's not so bad. I have a relative down in Arizona who does something like that, maybe more. But you know what? If you're not used to walking that far, you know, you might get tired and sore the next day at least. But to then get to their destination, say it's late already, come and stay with us, and then after finding out it's Jesus who appeared to them, they say they had to go back. And so they walked all the way back to Jerusalem. 14 miles that day. I'm sure that their pace was much faster than it was on their way to Emmaus. The scripture says they returned at once. That's where they met the 11, and that's where they heard other stories that people had seen Jesus, even Peter himself. And now they could add this to it. Isn't that amazing that Jesus wasn't limited by space and time or distance? He could go anywhere at the same time. I don't know how that works, but that's God. That's one of the attributes of God, right? Well, Jesus revealed himself, and then the disciples went ahead and told others, like I just said. They told the disciples that they had seen him, and he revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. It is an amazing thing. And speaking about this road to Emmaus, which was on the day of Easter, 50 days later, we have Pentecost, the season of Pentecost. That's when the Pentecost begins. And Peter proclaimed Jesus' resurrection on the day of Pentecost. And the people who heard it, you know, were like I said, cut to the heart. It was went right into them. And they had to do something about it. And they asked, what should we do? What must we do? Well, Peter goes ahead and says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Be baptized under his authority because he is the one who is, as it said early in the text of that day, made Christ and Lord. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's another thing we often sometimes can overlook. I know those people who are in the study of the small group there that met for like 7 weeks, whatever, they heard that too. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift which is for all believers because they need it. It says in the Catechism that we cannot do anything on our own, that it's the Holy Spirit who helps us. We hear that in the Gospel of John 2. In the prayer earlier, I mentioned that how Peter said to these people, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. You look at our generation, we'd say, wow, it's pretty corrupt. Really corrupt. It's more corrupt than I've ever seen it before. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. How? Turning to Jesus. Repenting of our sins, being baptized, being given the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, and then living for him. There are all kinds of people who spit at others. There are all kinds of rock throwers out there. I should know. They all need to hear of their sin, and they need to know of the consequences of their sin. And then they will know that there's death as a consequence of sin and eternal punishment. They hear that. They can also hear about the love of Jesus. How he died on that cross for them, to forgive their sins, to make them right with God. That day for Peter, it was like 3,000 people were added to their number. That's a phenomenal amount. I mean, it's like, wow, wouldn't we love to see something like that? That would be great. But also, it says they lived differently too later on. You can see those verses. Acts 2, towards the end of it,
They devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many and wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and everything had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily. It wasn't just that they said it, it's also that they lived it. That'd be a good thing for us to pray to God. Show us, God, how to live it out in our life. The love that you've given us and that salvation you've given us. Reveal to us. It may not look like them. It might be different, however. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us in that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to be with us. Thank you, Jesus, that you understand us. Thank you, Jesus, that you open the Word of God to us. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us. With this in mind, God, help us to always be repentant, be submitted to you, knowing that you call us to go and tell others as well. Help us to do so, God, not only in word, but also, God, in how we live. May it be so distinctive and different from culture, the love that you have in us, that people will see you. I pray this in the name of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.